Hawks, our live broadcasting at Center. Before the Hawks take on the Sabres is being brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
Corey Crawford back tonight.
And
happy about that.
That is exciting. They've lost five in a row, and that's not particularly good. But, you know, Chicago sports fans, it's been very, very tough. You got the Bulls, who are one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
The Bulls, Blackhawks, and Bears are riding a combined 0-for-20 streak right now.
It's
that bad. If it feels like you haven't seen a W in a while, that's because all three aren't really playing that well.
Here is Coach Ditka.
It's really that bad.
Brought to you by Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic. And, okay, Coach. I watched that game on Sunday, and I thought to myself, of all of the humiliating defeats in the history of the Bears, and luckily there haven't been that many in my memory, but there have been a few. This was the worst because it was a guy they passed over, ran a pretty effective offense, and as at quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. But then you had the guy that they got rid of as the place kicker single-handedly win the
game.
Take you down by kicking five field goals to your two touchdowns, one of which was a special teams miracle play that if you ran that 100 times, it would only score once.
Yeah. And their new kicker gets hurt in pregames.
Yeah.
Re-injures the same injury that got him cut from Kansas City.
Yes.
Then there's that.
Yes. So, Coach, what's your thought on this?
When it rains, it pours. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. You know, I love Robbie Gould. I did love Robbie. So I didn't know. I knew him as a person more than as a kicker, but I thought he was a good kicker. But, you know, Bears, they made decisions based on what they feel is best for their football team. You can't go hindsight and say, well, if we would have done this, if we would have done that. Everybody can do that. They made a decision based on what they felt was the best thing they could do going forward. And that's all they're trying to do. Right now, you know, they got to stop the bleeding. You got to get a win. I don't care if it's 2-0. You got to get a win. You got to find a way to get some confidence back into the football team. You know, these guys go out and play hard. I watch them play. So I'm saying, well, they can run the ball. They play pretty good defense. They got to put some points on the board. And you know, I think if they can get one win, I think that can. It's not going to change the season. I know that. Season's lost. But you finish out strong, then you got something to build on for the coming year. You finish out bad, and man, everybody is whoa, gloom, this and that. We got to change this. We got to bring this new person in, and it gets pretty crazy. Believe me. So all you're pulling for is a win.
Well, John Fox is not going to return next year as Chicago Bears head coach. I cannot imagine a scenario in which he would. Obviously, the question then is, you know, who do you go out and get? And you've already turned down the job, I understand, so that's not going to happen.
Come on, Coach.
So,
come back, Coach.
Just come back for one.
At a moment like that, do you think, you know, having been in situations not as dire as this, but having been in situations that were uncomfortable, is it likely that a head coach, you don't know, you can't get in John Fox's head, but that a head coach would be relieved not to come back?
Well, I don't know if you're ever relieved not to come back because you're hired to do a job. And the confidence that whole organization is in you to do that job. I had the same situation down in New Orleans. When it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. That's all there is to it. We made decisions on players that we thought were the right decisions. We thought these guys were the best for our team. They end up, we made some bad decisions, period. So the head coach takes the blame for it. And John understands that. I mean, but you got to look at the whole picture. I don't know. I love a lot of their players. I think the quarterbacks are special guys. I think they can be real good players with anybody. But you know, you got to play team football. You got to have an offense. You can run the ball, throw the ball. You got to have a defense that can stop the run and pass. And you got to have special teams that can match up with the other team's kickers and punters. And if you don't have that, you're going to have a problem. And right now, they don't have all the pieces in the puzzle. And until you get them, it's hard. I mean, I can go back to 1982 when I first went there. You know, every while you got this and that. No. I knew what we had and what we didn't have. But we were smart enough because I had guys like Bill Tovar and Jerry Vannesi to work with who went out and said, okay, here's what we need. I said, this is what we need, guys. And they went out and got those guys through the draft. Basically, we brought them all in through the draft. And it made a big difference because the nucleus of the football team was already there. I mean, the Hamptons and McMichaels and the Paytons, And the guys like that were already there. But we just brought in the other pieces. The Fensick, I mean, we had a lot of good players there. Les Frazier,
yeah.
When I got there. So, I mean, there were a lot of good players on that football team, but they hadn't won. And I think winning, I don't want to say it's an attitude, but it is an attitude. If you don't think you're going to win, you're not going to win. That's all there is to it. If you're not positive,
but they don't,
you're not going to win.
Okay, well, let me just ask you this question. And I hate to go back and think about that game anymore because it really was humiliating. And San Francisco's been, even in your era, before you guys won the Super Bowl, San Francisco was a scary place, or after the Super Bowl, San Francisco was often a scary place to be because they were at their peak. But they are not scary this year. They're an awful team this year. And to beat them and not let them score when you had 2 minutes left, and not let them score so that you could go down the field. You were in possession. You could have the last possession and try to win the game in the last possession. Isn't that sort of coaching 101, or am I just an armchair quarterback?
No, you're not an armchair quarterback. We all have opinions, and they're like noses. We all have one, and you have your opinion's right. I'm not saying you're wrong. Let me tell you one thing, and I want to get this. Nobody wants to win a football game more than John Fox. Nobody. I mean, they're not winning. I mean, he's going to take the heat because he's a head coach. He's a big guy. He understands that. And when you're hired for that position, the buck stops there. And if you don't do the job, you're gone. It happened to me with the Bears. It happened to me in New Orleans. We weren't getting the job done. Adios. And that's all there is to it. And nobody's going to shed a tear for anybody. But I think they're too good a football team. I think they have too many good football players not to be doing better than they're doing right now. And don't ask me why. If I could wave a magic wand, my God, I'd wave a magic wand. But I can't. So they got to go out and play. They got to earn the respect of the opposition by knocking them on their butts. I mean, and you got to play physical, tough Chicago Bear football. I haven't seen a lot of that.
Hey, Coach, the list of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominees was released yesterday. Sam Acho is a finalist for the Bears. Each team has a finalist. Obviously, you knew Walter very, very well. What does that award mean to you, and do you have a favorite Walter Payton story for us?
Well, it embodies it's an award that really embodies a tribute to the greatest football player I've ever seen. Now, I'm saying that, and I mean it, because I've seen a lot of good ones. I played with a lot of good ones, and I played against a lot of good ones. Nobody played football like Walter Payton. If you told him he couldn't do it, he would do it. And that's the way he was. He was a driving force behind our football team in the 80s. And he was well-respected by not only our team, but by the opposition. And he was a great individual. He was a practical joker. I mean, listen, I used to get these phone calls at training camp. I get these phone calls. It's not like a female. Coach Dika, I'm going to be, will you come meet me at so-and-so? And I said, I didn't pay much attention to it. Thank God I never went, because I was on the practice field one day, and I'm watching practice, and his voice comes up behind me. Coach Dika, will you meet me at turnaround? It's Walter. He had that high, dicky voice like a woman. So that's what it sounded like.
Yeah. Huh. I could see that happening. He was he had an amazing reputation for. Yeah, for that he did. There were I once shared a golf cart with him, and today, let me just put it to you this way: today he would not be allowed in Congress. That's all I'm going to tell you. All right, well, Coach, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you. Let's get a win.
Yeah. All right.
How
thanks,
about
Coach.
It?
Wow. Finally. Okay. Thank you. He's kind of making me feel as though now I feel bad about wanting them to lose.
Were saying you were wishing draft for that choice. Earlier for draft choice reasons.
Well, and I've been saying this too, and believe it or not, I'm actually going to defend John Fox just a little bit here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That John Fox didn't come to Chicago to develop young players. He clearly is on a different page than Ryan Pace. He has all these young guys, and he won't play them. He won't play Adam Shaheen because he wants to win games where all of us are like, okay, we want to win, but let's start getting these younger guys reps, and he's not doing that. He didn't come here to develop young players.
Well, he's not winning, though.
Right, and he's not winning. So
why not develop the guys and actually have them win a game? It's not like these guys can't. Sometimes the younger guys are in better position to beat the older guys.
John Fox believes all he cares about is still getting a W, whether they're out of it or not. So
how's that working out?
It's not working out. But he still said it. He said it at Halas Hall this week. He's like the final. It's your resume. He's like he really cares about his reputation. He doesn't want to lose these next four. But the biggest thing is developing Mitch and getting guys like Shaheen reps. He played 9 plays last week. It's inexcusable. He's your second round pick. But anyway, tell me
there's gone not in a picture. Month. There's not a picture of John Fox getting married to Mitch Trubisky wearing a wedding dress, as what appeared on the cover of ESPN magazine, one of the first ESPN magazines, of Mike Ditka marrying Ricky Williams in a wedding dress. Yeah.
Hey, who was in the wedding dress?
Ricky Williams, the guy that he just alluded to it in the interview. Mm-hmm. They once made a trade for a guy that
they traded everything for Ricky Williams.
The entire team for Ricky Williams.
His draft picks.
The entire they cleared out an entire draft, and so that was ESPN was like, okay, well, you're married to this guy, he better be great, and he was a bust. And that was the that was the end of Mike Ditka in New Orleans.
Damn.
And that picture of Ditka on the I pulled it up here just so that
refresh the memory.
Yeah. Because it is one of the expression on Ricky Williams' face is one of the greatest in the history of all sports. Like, you made me wear this dress, man.
How'd they get a dress to fit Ricky Williams?
And Ditka's like, you be quiet and you wear that
broad
dress.
Shoulders.
Then Ricky Williams left the league and was found smoking the devil's lettuce in some hut in a jungle.
Oh.
That's true.
Oh, that didn't work out.
They did. It was like an undercover news thing. Like, we found Ricky Williams, and it was some weird little hut, like, in a jungle, and he just loved smoking weed.
Well, he was obviously scarred.
Yeah. Scarred.
Wore the wedding dress.
The wedding dress moment.
Comes back to that, I think.
There were a couple guys throughout the years that decided that they were going to go with the demon ganj, and that's what they did as opposed to anything else. All right. Thank you very much, Coach. It was I don't know what to do. You know what? I'm back to – now that he's gone, I'm back to why I'm going to lose on Sunday.
You want them to lose.
I need a draft pick, and I need somebody who knows what they're doing to pick it.
Tank loss. Look at it that way.
All right.